pack your bags, start the car, and get on the road. It's time to go across the country, 2 minutes at a time, for the biggest stories of the day, where they're happening.
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Indianapolis, Indiana.
Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Cleveland, Ohio.
Boston, Mass.
Miami, Florida.
It's the 2 minute drill on the program.
Second half of the program begins right now. The 2 minute drill brought to you by our friends at Twin Peaks. It's happy hour. Get to Twin Peaks right now. TwinPeaksRestaurant.com to find the location nearest you. And you get some of that 29 degree man sized draft beer. That's my recommendation for your happy hour. You can also take advantage of all kinds of great eats and treats. And of course, UFC, it's on. At Twin Peaks, boxing, UFC, it's your home right there at Twin Peaks, so take advantage of it. UFC 263 is going to be going on. You can bring all your friends and your appetite out for this. Don't forget that made-from-scratch menu, perfect spot to go and watch you some UFC. Coming up tomorrow, UFC 263, order the pulled pork sandwich, now featuring a massive onion ring, or get enough wings for you and the whole table. It is going on this weekend. The place to watch it is at Twin Peaks, and the place to shop for dad is right here at the Bushnell Factory Outlet Father's Day sales event. They do it every year, and it is the best spot if dad's a golfer, a hunter, likes to get outdoors, wants to go watch a game. Binoculars starting the best binoculars around, starting at $35. It's the only binoculars that I will use, the Bushnell. Of course, right here, locally owned and operated, is your Bushnell Factory Outlet. Take advantage of it. $50 golf GPSs, golf laser rangefinders, the number one rangefinder in golf for just $130. Get it right now for dad. It's the Bushnell Factory Outlet Father's Day sales event. It's at 8500 Marshall Drive. You got today. Till 7 o'clock, Saturday, 10 to 5. Next week, Monday through Friday, 10 to 7, and Saturday, 10 to 5. Again, Monday through Friday, 10 to 7, Saturday, 10 to 5, right here at 8500 Marshall Drive in Lenexa. We start the two-minute drill in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Brian D. is there, 620 WTMJ. Brian, how are you, sir?
I am great. Happy Friday. Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Before I get to the Bucks, let's start with the latest on Aaron Rodgers. Is it really a new story every day when he doesn't show up for minicamp? Like, when he didn't come the first day, we pretty much knew he wasn't coming, right?
Yeah. But there is still a new development of some kind every single day. Somebody's saying something, whether it's, you know, somebody within the Packers organization, a teammate, a coach, a front office member, or somebody in the media, whether it's local or national. Somebody's making a story every single day. Rodgers has been driving Wisconsin sports, even with the Bucks, even with the Brewers heating up. Rodgers is king, and it has been the case since draft day, when, you know, the rumors that he wanted out surfaced. You know, the big thing this week, honestly, Sirim, wasn't him not showing up. It was the fact that Jordan Love actually had a terrific practice on Wednesday of this week. For the first time, he showed signs of life and gave some people the hope that he could actually be not terrible. It was the first sign that he might actually have the goods, and he showed some pop at practice on Wednesday, and he's been the biggest beneficiary of Rodgers' holdout, because he's getting first-team reps for the first time in his NFL career. So Jordan Love, believe it or not Aaron Rodgers, was the big story this week.
Will that move the needle on getting Aaron Rodgers traded?
I don't think so. I think the Packers, they would never say this, but I think the Packers are actually pretty pleased that Rodgers isn't present right now, because they're getting an opportunity uninhibited to develop Jordan Love without Aaron around. The longer this goes on, the more the outcome seems to me to be that there might be one more year here where Rodgers begrudgingly goes back, not to appease general manager Brian Gutekunst or, team president Mark Murphy or anybody else that he's frustrated with. He'll do it to just make one more run of the Super Bowl with his teammates that he loves so much. You know, David Bakhtiari, a longtime veteran. Devontae Adams, his favorite wide receiver. I think at some point, whether it's late in training camp or early in the season, he'll realize that the best opportunity he has to win the Super Bowl this year is going to be in Green Bay. And I wouldn't even be surprised if there's some sort of under-the-table handshake agreement between him and Brian Gutekunst, the general manager, that says, you know what, come back, we'll make one more run at it. You and I don't have to talk at all. We'll try and win the Super Bowl, and then we agreed to trade you next offseason. But at this point, I just don't know if the value's there in a trade for the Packers to get that done. Now, Jordan Love having a spectacular camp, if Rodgers didn't show up, could potentially move the needle a little bit, but I think at this point it's still too early for anybody within the Packers organization to feel comfortable making that jump.
You mentioned the Bucks; they get a gutty win last night and stave off going down 3-0. Now 2-1 for the Nets. They survived the last minute or last second shot from Kevin Durant. 68 of 86 points scored by Middleton and Giannis. That was great. It was great theater. But if the Nets, if that's what it takes for them, and they got to drag it into like a 1992 style NBA game, was this just staving off the inevitable, right? Do you see this turning the tide, or do you just see this as, oh my God, an ugly win that they managed to gut out?
Yeah, it seems more like that than the series swinging in any meaningful way. Now, I'm not ruling that out. Like, the Bucks could very well come out on Sunday afternoon at home and even up the series with a dominant performance. That's not against the realm of possibility. They absolutely have that in them as a basketball team. But through the first three games of this series, they haven't looked like themselves at all. And Jrue Holiday, who came up with the gigantic basket with about 11 seconds left last night to put the Bucks up, he said after the game, look, if we got to muck every game up in the series, we'll muck it up and make it ugly. And that's what it was last night. These were the top two offensive basketball teams in the NBA playing a game in the 80s in 2021. It was just crazy. The Bucks have looked totally out of sorts offensively. Even with Giannis and Chris going off, like you mentioned, Seren, and scoring what it was 79% of the team's points last night, there's been so much isolation basketball. The basketball has not been moving. I think that's a credit to the Nets, who we thought were an atrocious defensive basketball team, but have been really good through three games. And you got to keep in mind, the Nets are doing all of this and keeping, you know, even yesterday's game close without James Harden on the floor. Nothing through the first three games leads me to believe yet that the Bucks have a chance to come back and win this series. They were fortunate to squeak that one out last night, and we'll see if they can even things up on Sunday. But they need to get their act together offensively. They look totally out of sorts through three games of this series.
If they would fall, and let's say James Harden doesn't play a game, would that mean that they try to blow this thing up, or do they look back and say, hey, if Dante DiVincenzo plays, we got a better shot?
I don't think they're going to blow up the roster. I think it would mean the end of the line for head coach Mike Budenholzer. This would be three consecutive years of underachieving in the playoffs. And, you know, dating back 3 years ago, they had a 2-0 series lead over that Kawhi Leonard Toronto team before they lost four straight, and Kawhi obviously won the title that year. But last year's bubble didn't go well, and then this year getting bounced before the conference finals would be really, really bad. So I don't think they would blow up the roster just because there's not a lot to blow up. Like, Giannis just signed a max deal. Chris Middleton's on a max deal. Jrue Holiday signed a max contract in the middle of the season. So your big three, for better or worse, is what it is. Like, those are the three guys you're going to have to win with. Now, you can try to move the ancillary pieces around, and they tried to do that at the beginning of this season, trying to move Dante DiVincenzo to get Bogdan Bogdanovic before the NBA nixed that trade. So, you know, John Horst, their general manager, is one of the smartest young GMs in the NBA. I think he'll do his best to try and shake up the ancillary pieces, but there's not a whole lot you can do when you have your top three players locked up on max deals other than move the pieces around. I do think, though, if they lose this series, it'll be the end of the line for Mike Budenholzer, and they're going to be searching for a new head coach.
Brian D. in Milwaukee, great stuff. Great stuff as always, my friend. We appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
You do the same. Thank you. It feels like
LA. Pete Fox, KLOS in Los Angeles, California's next. Pete, how are you, sir?
Hey, good, man.
Clips got down 2-0. Wasn't a problem. They come back. They win in seven games. However, no team has ever gotten down 2-0 twice and lived to tell about it. Are the Clippers done?
You know, I don't know. It seems like the Jazz team's playing with a lot of energy and a lot of life and a lot of spunk, and the Clippers are just, like, clinging to life, basically. You know, they took a 2-point lead in that game last night with six minutes, 37 seconds, I believe it was. And then they didn't score but 2 points at the free throw line for over 5 minutes. So, I mean, that's kind of this team. They go through spurts and then don't have anything to really back it up. And it kind of comes down to me, it feels like the chemistry is just not there. And we've said it over and over again all season long. They just haven't put together long streaks of playing together and being successful at the same time. So, obviously they've got the talent, but I just don't believe that this is a championship-level team. And maybe there's that curse that they've never been to the conference finals either. But we'll see what happens tonight. You know, tomorrow night, rather. They're 4.5-point favorites. So, you know, the old adage, a series doesn't really start until the home team loses. So we'll see what happens. But I don't feel like when Reggie Jackson is the guy you're leaning on to get you back into the game, nothing against Reggie Jackson. He's a good player. But Paul George has been fairly absent. I mean, he's done okay. And Kawhi Leonard has been there, but I don't think he can do it all by himself. So I look at this team and I go, I don't know. Something's missing, it feels like. I don't exactly know what it is other than a real leader, which Kawhi Leonard is not.
Yeah, and that's one of the big things. He's just not that dynamic personality in the locker room that's going to drive things forward. Brilliant player himself, but just not that type of guy. And, you know, what would be the reaction if the Clippers go down, God forbid, if they get swept? What would they do with this mix? I mean, because Kawhi Leonard can opt out after this year, right?
Yeah. Firing Doc Rivers was not a popular move in L.A., let's put it that way. And then, you know, the fact that the Sixers are making a run in the East has everyone kind of look. L.A. is obviously a Laker town, and the Clippers are sometimes a blip on the radar screen. And ultimately, Laker fans don't have the, the bigger persona to say, hey, we're going to root for the Clippers. You know, Laker fans are like, can't wait for the Clippers to lose. Especially because the Jazz coach is a former Laker coach. So there's plenty of reasons for Laker fans to root for the Jazz in a Laker town. So, you know, if they go out in this round much earlier than everyone thought, a lot of people are going to be pointing their finger at Ty Lue even after one season. I know it's crazy to say, but, you know, the question will be asked, why in the heck did you fire Doc Rivers?
Yeah, and it'll be a good question to ask. We love Ty Lue. Raytown High right here. Raytown Blue Jays, Curtis, I think. Raytown? I always forget. Raytown and
yep.
South.
Raytown. Blue Jays.
Raytown Blue Jays. So we're certainly rooting for him to get things turned around and going in the right direction. Are the Angels getting things going in the right direction, or no? Did they just find a Royals team that's totally hot and cold, and they got them at a cold time?
Well, you know, I think they're playing a little bit better, but I wouldn't say they have stumbled into something that they're a better team without Mike Trout. That would be hard to believe. But, I mean, you could argue that they're as good with Mike Trout as they are without Mike Trout. So I don't think there's any way in hell that they ever make a move to get rid of him and, you know, start rebuilding this franchise, which needs a whole lot of things. But it is interesting to look at and say, wow, they're not terrible when Mike Trout is not playing. And what are they? They've won 5 of 6. So you could say, is this the time maybe to send him somewhere where he could win a championship? You know, a lot of teams do that. They feel obligated to a guy. Like, let's send him somewhere so he can win a championship, and we'll rebuild our franchise in the meantime. So it could be that. I don't think Artie Moreno has that in him. But you never know. But I think this was just stumbling into two not very good teams in the Mariners and Royals.
Are the Dodgers just bored with the regular season?
That's a good question. You could say, I mean, how would you ever really know? It's not like anybody in the dugout or in the locker room is ever going to cop to that, you know. Not to mention, we're not allowed in there anymore, and they're surely not going to cop to it on Zoom. But it does kind of feel like that at times. Like, you know, they just get us to the postseason, just get us to the tournament, and then we'll start playing differently. But this is a team that's dealt with some injuries over the last few weeks, and they have kind of weathered the storm and turned things around. You know, they dropped 2 of 3 in Atlanta to the Braves, swept the Pirates. Again, not a very good team. Their pitching is starting to come back together and get, healthy. Not that it ever was really falling apart, per se, but the bullpen's been kind of a mess. And that's really their Achilles heel, and it will continue to be till they get a few things settled down. But Tony Gonsolin came back to the starting rotation, so the five-man starting rotation is pretty solid right now. And I feel like, you know, the Dodgers are just going to keep doing what they're doing, and that's basically winning 2 out of 3.
All right, real quick on the college football playoff. My view is that they're trying to penalize the Pac-12 when they're not giving all 5 Power Fives an automatic bid in. The one conference champion that when you look at like, hey, this is what it would have been for the last 6 or 7 years, that could have actually not made it was the Pac-12. Is that getting any traction out there, or no? Is everybody just thrilled to see a playoff?
You know, it's funny, this time of year there's not a whole lot of talk about what's going on with college football, but I feel like, you know, the Rams take a lot of some of the spotlight away, Rams and Chargers to a certain extent, from the USC football program, because it used to be the only game in town, and it got a lot of attraction because of that. But, you know, that's one of the great topics in sports talk radio, isn't it? Like the college football playoff and how many teams should be in it. So I feel like Trojan fans think, you know, this might give us a better shot at getting there, because it's the other way. Over the last few years, we haven't had a shot in hell. So maybe now we will, but it's not, you know, it's not a front page conversation by any stretch of the imagination. And like I said, I feel like there's multitudes of reasons for that. Trojan fans are still there. They're just not quite as vocal as they used to be. And I'm not sure that they love the USC head coach at this point. You know, they're kind of feeling like,
sure,
maybe it's time to get rid of him. I mean, he's a good guy, but is he the kind of guy that can take us to the promised land? You know, is Clay Helton the star coach that USC programs should have, right? It's like, he's a good coach, he's a good guy, everyone loves him, blah, blah, blah. But does he have the pedigree to get them to the next level? I think anytime you get into a conversation with a Trojan fan about the way Trojan football is going, it always circles back to Clay Helton. And that may not be fair, but it's the facts.
Pete Fox in Los Angeles. Great stuff, buddy. We appreciate the time. Have yourself a great weekend, my friend.
You too, man. Thanks.
Colorado.
And Mike Rice, KOA, and the voice of the Rockies in Denver, Colorado, is next. Mike, how are you, sir?
Doing great, Saran. Good to be with you.
Yeah, good to be with you. Before we get to the Nuggets, tell me, Aaron Rodgers, what do we think? Is there still optimism that that's a possibility for the Denver Broncos?
I certainly think it's a possibility. I think the biggest question is, how dug in is Aaron Rodgers on not coming back to the Packers? We have some of our folks reporting that he's pretty dug in, that he's not going to return. Of course, nobody really knows for sure at this point, and you know, the Packers are going to make every effort to try and convince him to come back and put whatever deal they need to on the table, say whatever they need to say. But if he's dug in and will not play in Green Bay, I think there's a puncher's chance for sure that he winds up in Denver.
Yeah, okay. We'll see where it goes. Drew Locke still saying the right things?
Saying the right things. It's a matter of, you know, is he going to do the right things on the field? And, you know, he's still a young quarterback that has to take strides, and he's getting a little push from Teddy Bridgewater. So, you know, if Rodgers isn't the guy who winds up here, it's going to be between Locke and Bridgewater, it looks like, for, you know, the starting job at the beginning of the season.
Nuggets and the Suns. I thought that was such a great series last series for the Nuggets that, you know, I think for a lot of people, maybe they started to forget that Jamal Murray went down, and he was so brilliant last year in that series against the Jazz down in the bubble. That was a big loss for the Nuggets. And so a great success story just getting to this point without Jamal Murray. But is that what we're finding out, that, man, this would be one hell of a series if they had Murray? Or do you think that they still have a puncher's chance, even though they're down 2-0?
I think they've got a chance. I do. I mean, they need to play better. I don't think they played well at all in Phoenix, especially in game two. I mean, they didn't really, as Michael Malone, their head coach, said after the game, they didn't put the effort out defensively. I mean, you've at least got to try. You're not going to put the effort out on the defensive end at all in the playoffs. You're going to lose by 20 to 30 points like they did. They've got to figure out a way to defend Chris Paul differently. I mean, what do you have, 15 assists and no turnovers? And granted, he's an unbelievable player and has been doing it a long, long time. But you just can't let him do that to you. So, yeah, I think at home, I think they've got a chance. But that's with the caveat that they play better. And it starts with Jokic. There's no question. But when it starts with a guy like that, I mean, he's the MVP for a reason. And so I would be stunned if the Nuggets went down without a fight. I really would.
Yeah, Jokic MVP, richly deserved that award. What's his stature? I mean, I know it's Broncos all the time, 24/7 there in Denver, but how has he risen amongst the pecking order of Bronco luminaries in the sports world?
Yeah, it's been huge, and it's been well-deserved. I mean, I think people in Denver and even around the NBA, there are a lot of people who believe that Jokic is – the legitimate MVP, and I'm certainly in that group. There's always a few that, you know, think that he shouldn't be the MVP, and people around here just laugh at that. I mean, look, he's had an unbelievable year. What he's done at his position, especially given where he was drafted 41st overall, you know, a number of years ago, it's a terrific story. He's the unassuming superstar. In that regard, he fits in perfectly in this town. All he wants to do is go out and play well and win, and you have to love a guy like that.
Avs are out at the hands of the Las Vegas Golden Knights, top points in their division, tied with the Knights there, tied for the best record in, point total in the NHL. So certainly a disappointment here, but, any softening of the blow because the Knights have been one of the better teams in the league since they entered?
Yeah, they sure have been a really good team. Vegas has, and Vegas played better. They were tougher. They were grittier. Defensively, they were terrific. The top line for the Avs couldn't really generate much in the last four games of that series. You look at it and you go, what does Joe Sakic do to sort of retool a little bit, especially on the blue line? Does he make some changes? Does he try and alter the style, tweak the style a little bit? And it's still a high flying, fast skating team with a guy like MacKinnon. But like Nathan MacKinnon said after the game, he's been in the league, 8 or 9 years and hasn't done bleep as a team. And so, it is a disappointment. There's no doubt. But the Avs aren't going anywhere. They're going to be around. They'll be around next year, too, I think, Seren.
Will the Rockies roster look like it does once we get past the trade deadline? Or are we going to see a fire sale?
That's a really good question. I'm not convinced yet that there's going to be a fire sale. Obviously the two biggest decisions will be, do they want to bring Trevor Story and or John Gray back next year? Because those two guys are probably the two most prominent contracts that are going to be up. And so those will be two big decisions. And, obviously the Rockies themselves hold only part of that decision-making process. The players themselves have to decide, do they want to test free agency or do they want to, try and get something done or re-sign once the season is over. I think there'll be some changes for sure because, they're struggling and they're really struggling on the road. They're just having trouble gaining any traction there. Fire sale, I don't know. I mean, there's only so many pieces I think they have right now that they would be able to move.
All right, to Mike Rice in Denver. Great stuff as always, buddy. We appreciate the time. Have yourself a great weekend.
Thanks, Seren. You too.
Local talk plus national headlines from the people who are there. The 2-Minute Drill on the program with Seren Petro on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
He was covering the Chiefs the day Patrick Mahomes was born. He was covering the Chiefs the day Mahomes brought the Lombardi Trophy back to Kansas City.
Kansas City has won their first Super Bowl in 50 years. 50 years, a lifetime.
He's Adam Teicher of ESPN on the program.
You're in the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Seren Petro with you as we are live at the Bushnell Factory Outlet is where the Father's Day sales event is going on right now. Take advantage of it. They're open Monday through Friday, 10 to 7. Saturday, 10 to 5. Great deals like binoculars starting at just $35. Got a hunter, got a dad that's a hunter on your list. $25 spotting scopes, $35 tactical rifle scopes, $40 trail cameras. End of the season turkey decoy sale. That's going on. Right now, as a matter of fact, backpacks, ground blinds, cleaning kits, shooting rests, and mats, clay pigeon throwers, targets, get it all right now. You can also take a shot at the closest to the pin and long drive contest on the indoor golf simulator. If dad's a golfer, $50 golf GPS, golf lanes, laser rangefinders, the number one in golf laser rangefinders for just $130. You can take advantage of it right now. How about some cooking? You want to do some cooking with the pellet smokers? 20% off Camp Chef pellets right now at the Bushnell Factory Outlet Sale. It's 8500 Marshall Drive in Lenexa. Do not miss it. It's the best place to get your gifts for dad. Let's talk to Adam Teicher from ESPN, talking some Chiefs football with Adam Teicher. Adam is brought to you by our friends at Family Leisure. Go to familyleisure.com to get a great look, whether it's the pool and patio. There's summer sales going on right now. Best patio furniture around is at Family Leisure. Mention 810, save even more on their already great summer sale that's going on right now. The best patio furniture around is at Family Leisure. Go to familyleisure.com or see him in person at K10 in Ridgeview. Adam, how are you, my friend?
Good, Seren. How are you doing today?
Doing very good. Very frustrated and Yeah, I feel terrible for Kyle Long. You know, guy decides he's going to come back and give it a go after battling injuries for so long, and now he's already on the shelf. You know, what do we think? I heard you quizzing away at Andy Reid as to what the injury is, when we might know. Are we not going to hear anything for a couple of weeks on what the deal is with Kyle Long?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, it is rotten luck for him. You feel bad for the guy because, you know, he sat out of last year to try to get his body right to avoid this kind of thing, and here it is before he really ever got a chance to get started. So, yeah, not good. You know, the Chiefs seem to think that you know, he'll be back at some point this year, but, you know, when the guy's been out as long as he's been out, now he's not going to get training camp, he's not going to get a preseason. I think at this point, anything the Chiefs would get from Kyle Long would kind of be a bonus at this point.
I think you sweat everything, right, when you're Brett Veach, when you're Andy Reid. There's nothing that they're not worrying about. I think as fans, though, you can overlook some things. I've felt all along there's been way too much confidence, at least in the right side of the offensive line. Danny pointed it out, Orlando Brown is going to be, you know, playing a new system over on the left side. But I think we can feel good that he's going to be solid, right? Maybe he's not going to be an all-pro, but he's going to be solid. Feel good about Joe Tooney, but the right side from center over – I like Creed Humphrey as a prospect. I think he's going to be pretty good, but I can't tell you I know he's going to be good. And the right side, listen, Andrew Wiley got trucked in the Super Bowl, granted at right tackle. Lucas Niang was overweight. LDT hasn't played for more than a year, and frankly, he didn't grade out very well the last time he did play. Mike Remmers got destroyed at left tackle, played better at right tackle, but got destroyed at left tackle. Should we be a lot more worried about the right side of this offensive line than most people are talking about?
Well, yeah. I mean, I hear that, you know, some people have saying, oh, geez, maybe the best offensive line or, you know, one of the top three or five or whatever. And I think it's premature to say that. I mean, maybe if things work out, they can be that. But I don't know. I think it's premature to say that right now. I think there are some question marks. I mean, if everything works out for the Chiefs, yeah, this is gonna be great. You know, and if there's no more injuries, this is gonna work out just fine. But we know that's never the way it works out. You know, it doesn't work out for everybody. Somebody else will get hurt before we go along here. So, I mean, I feel better about the Chiefs' ability to withstand some injuries now than I did last year, but. Hey, it's not a finished product. You know, they still have some things to sort through there. We don't even know what it's going to look like. So, I feel like it's kind of premature to be calling this a strength. I mean, it could be, but right now we don't know that yet.
If it all goes right, tell me if this is the offensive line that we want to see, right? Everything goes right. For the Chiefs in this scenario, then what we see is Orlando Brown at left tackle, Joe Tooney at left guard, Creed Humphrey at center, Trey Smith wins the right guard spot, and Lucas Niang right tackle. And if you want to flip-flop Trey Smith and Lucas Niang, that's fine. But those two young guys and Creed Humphrey, three young guys, that's what really needs to happen, right? That's ideal.
Yep.
But it also needs to happen because they need cost-effective guys that can play at a high level somewhere. Not everybody can be making – we're going to get to Tyrann Mathieu in a minute – but not everybody can be making top-of-the-food-chain money at every position.
Yeah, no, I think that would be the ideal scenario for the Chiefs. You're right. I mean, you could have, in effect, three rookies. Niang technically is a rookie. I mean, he didn't play last year. So you've got three guys in the rookie contracts. That would be ideal. And they're going to be playing for the Chiefs for 4 years. And, that would be ideal. I think if you'd ask the Chiefs in their perfect world, that's what would happen. At least Tooney's not going anywhere for a little while. So these guys are going to play together for quite a while. So, that would be the ideal scenario. And I don't dismiss that. I think it's Creed Humphrey's going to start. I think this would be an upset, I think, at this point if Creed Humphrey doesn't end up starting when the regular season starts.
I think there's maybe a pretty good chance that Trey Smith can win a job. You know, let's see what – without Kyle Long in there now, that kind of opens things up a little bit for him. So I think there's a reasonable chance that Trey Smith could be starting when the season starts. Now, Niang might have the most difficult path of the three, but if he plays well, I don't know what the Chiefs have to gain by not giving him that job. So I could see that being the offensive line come September 12th.
Where do you think Kyle Long was looking? Like, what spot opened up? I know nothing's been decided, but they had to have something in the back of their mind where they were thinking. Were they thinking him at right guard or right tackle?
No, he was playing a right guard. And now that doesn't mean they couldn't have moved him around and shifted him over or whatever they needed to do with him. But he was starting. He was the number one right guard. Now, LDT hadn't been around. So, that maybe would have changed when he showed up. But he was the right guard for now.
I know a lot of people are excited that LDT is going to make it in for minicamp. But, where does it sit? Like, if Kyle Long was at right guard, is LDT the guy who's most likely to be cut?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think there would have been that danger. Now, he's got a guaranteed salary for this year, so there's really no benefit for the Chiefs to cut him. So, that issue aside, I do feel like he could have been cut. Now, the loss of Kyle Long really changes everything in my mind in that regard because, now, unless he's somehow able to make it back for the start of the season, this is, the Chiefs, I think they might need that depth. I mean, when you go in with a rookie, particularly a sixth-round pick like Trey Smith, he's going to be your starter. I think you need to have a pretty good backup plan, and maybe Duvernay-Tardif will be their best backup plan. So I don't really see it. He's not making a ton of money. What about 2.7, 2.8, something like that? And it is guaranteed, so I think he's going to make it.
Is that why the guaranteed contract? Why LDT's not here already?
Well, it could be. I mean, keep this in mind with him. He's never really been around for OTAs. Since he's been with the Chiefs, he's really been a no-show for these kinds of things. The Chiefs have been okay with that because most of this time he's been in med school, and they're okay with that. They've kind of just told him basically when they drafted him, listen, you do what you need to do. But when we absolutely have to have you here, you show up, and he has. He's been around for the mini camps and all that. But so he's never been around. So without asking him or talking to him, I'm not sure what his thinking is. But and plus, I don't know how easy it is to get out of Canada right now, right? I mean, I don't know. That could be an issue this year as well.
We're talking to Adam Teicher here in the program. He's on our T-Mobile guest line. Tell me, what do we make of the Tyrann Mathieu tweeting that's been going on of late?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it certainly sounds ominous. He the one from a few weeks ago that he deleted shortly afterwards. He's not deleting any of these now. So, but hey, it's hard to know without talking to him. It's hard to know exactly what what's going on here. I mean, it could be something as innocent as maybe him changing his number, and it could be something more than that. So, I feel like he was done tweeting about his contract when he deleted the other one. So if this one, these latest tweets are about his contract, then certainly he, I was wrong about that.
After all the questions, like almost every question he answered, after just the one tweet that he ultimately deleted was about that, this is a calculated move. There's no way. This is him firing shots across the bow of the Chiefs on a contract extension, right? He's a smart guy. There's no way he doesn't know exactly what he's doing, correct?
Well, I mean, it could be. I mean, I if that's the case, though, why would he delete the earlier tweet, so about him not being optimistic? But I don't know. I mean, I feel like this will get worked out, but it's an interesting situation, one to watch, no doubt.
See, I feel like, the negotiations have finally begun. I think you need a deadline. for negotiations to get started. I think the Chiefs have made it pretty clear with how they handle Chris Jones that they don't see any point in talking in March and April and May about any kind of contract negotiations, because isn't anything going to get done. Everybody's just going to stand their ground. Well, now we're into the OTAs, the mini camp coming up next week, and then it's go time because training camp's right around the corner, and you want to get that done. So to me, I think what's happened is since we last talked to him, they've begun the negotiations, and we're getting an honest, heartfelt reaction on how he thinks it's going right now.
Yeah, and, you know, that well could be. And if, you know, the Chiefs maybe have decided that he's not worth, you know, really, that they don't want to go where he wants them to go with the contract. So we'll see. But I still feel like this will get resolved one way or the other.
Okay, you do, because maybe it's not about what he's worth. It's about what they have. They're finally up against it. Like, you can't, again, come back to why we say those young offensive linemen need to come through, because not everybody on the roster can be the highest paid guy at their position.
Yeah. And you know, the Chiefs went there with him when they signed him a couple of years ago. But, yeah, they're in a much different place with their cap now. So, it's interesting to see if he's willing to take less.
Who's more of a leader on the team, Chris Jones or Tyrann Mathieu?
I would take Tyrann Mathieu.
So did they make a tactical mistake in spending the money? If the money's not there and they've got now an agitated, irritated, perhaps upset Tyrann Mathieu, did they make a mistake? If it is a matter of there just isn't enough money to pay everyone, did they pay the wrong guy?
I'd hate to see where the Chiefs would be without Chris Jones right now. So, no, I'm going to say no. I still think this will get worked out without Mathieu, but I'm wondering what the Chiefs look like defensively without Chris Jones. So I'll stand by that deal. I think that's still going to be money well spent.
All the talk is about the red zone. The additions that have been made are Reed, they're Bolton, Kando, the kid from Minnesota, the first round pick from Minnesota, the former Minnesota first round pick, Mike Hughes, and then, you know, really, I'll say Willie Gay Jr. too is like an addition because he really didn't play that much. Just now that he's going through a camp, we're optimistic he's going to be an addition. Is that enough to make this defense better?
Not enough to make them, you know, top 10 or anything like that, but they don't need to be, as we know. You know, good enough to get him into the middle of the league? I think so. You know, Jaron Reed's kind of an interesting guy. I'm anxious to see or eager to see how he does in the Chiefs system and whether he can be as big a factor for them as he was for Seattle. Because, you know, he's not just a rush pass rusher. He's not just a first and second down guy. I mean, he can be a force for them, you know, in all situations. So, I think the Chiefs can be improved on defense, and I think they have to be. You know, I think they, you know, that has to be an area where they get better because they weren't good enough there last year. They let some teams back into games, had trouble finishing games because they couldn't get it done defensively. So I'm looking for some improvement there, yeah.
Weren't you the one that asked the question yesterday, is Chris Jones being played or was he not played at defensive end because how did you put it?
Yeah, I said, did you not play him more? Did the Chiefs not play him more outside on the edge last year and the year before because they didn't have a guy like Jaron Reed? And Andy Reid really never answered the question, but you know, that would lead you to believe that's the case, that Reed is the difference here, that he's the deciding factor, and the Chiefs deciding, okay, we're going to go ahead and try this with Chris Jones.
Do you think that's the case, or do you think they're so terrified by what they have at left defensive end that they have no other choice?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's probably the best option is Chris Jones. But number one, I'm not sure that decision's been made yet that Jones is going to play there for full time. And number two, I mean, if the Chiefs really felt strongly that they were that bad there or that Chris Jones couldn't handle it, that they would have gone out and either given Melvin Ingram his money or done something else there.
Andy, we're talking to Adam Teicher here in the program from ESPN as we're live at the Bushnell Factory Outlet Father's Day sales event. It's going on now till Father's Day, really till the Saturday before Father's Day, 8500 Marshall Drive here in Lenexa. Andy Reid walking with a cane. Listen, he's older. He's played football. He had, I think knee replacement surgery. Anyone who's, you know, when we could get out there and say, no, now you're getting back out there and seeing him in person. But it's a nasty scar on the knee when he had knee replacement surgery a couple of years ago. So, you know, he's been banged around and in the wars. So I'm not freaking out that the man has a cane. Like you can, you know, lots of people do lots of things with a cane. Trust me, I know more than most. But the part that kind of caught my ear was that, you know, when he had the knee surgery, he talked about, knee replacement, kind of discussed the surgery and what was going on. He didn't want to go anywhere near it. He just said, 60 caught up with me. Am I reading too much into it? Did we just catch him on a day? I heard Corey Anderson say he wanted no part of that Q&A today. And we know sometimes he's super short. Sometimes he'll engage a little bit more. Did we just catch him on a kind of a feisty day? He didn't want to be there, or should we be wondering a little bit more about what's going on?
Yeah, there was no doubt. Corey was right. I mean, he wanted no part of any of the questions yesterday. You know, he didn't talk about Kyle Long. He didn't talk about Chris Jones. He didn't talk about himself. He really talked about nothing. And you know what? I don't blame him, because I was out there at practice yesterday, and it felt like 200 degrees out there. So I don't necessarily blame him for not wanting to stick around and answer a few questions. But with regard to the cane, I mean, he has been beat up a little bit physically over the years. And, you're standing out there for a couple hours of practice. Let's see if it's something more ominous than that. But right now, I don't think it is any big deal.
On crunch time last night, Tim Grunhardt called it coach back. He said, whenever you go back, he said, the coaches are out there. He said, everybody, when you're standing out there, you haven't been doing it for a while, and you're just kind of standing around, everyone's back starts getting sore. He laughed it off that simple. That's maybe just Andy Reid getting back out on the practice field, and he'll get things going. And, you know, he's been sitting behind a desk, for lack of a better word, staring at film and designing plays for 5 months, and now he's got to get back into the routine of getting out there. I mean, that's what we hope it is, right?
Yeah, no doubt. And, I feel like he'll be able to weather it. He's a pretty strong guy. He'll be able to weather if this is what the deal is.
I've always felt like, last question on this, I've always felt like he is a guy that, and I'm not trying to be morbid about this, and it had nothing to do with the stuff that happened at Penn State, but Joe Paterno coached right up until he passed away. Bear Bryant coached right up until he passed away. I mean, I think Andy Reid, the fact that he didn't take some time off in between Philadelphia and Kansas City, this is what he will do until he physically can't do it, right? Yeah. And whether that's his heart gives out at age 88, 90, 95, we all hope that he's the brilliant, sharp coach that he's been his every day here in Kansas City for a long, long time. But do you get the vibe? Like, I don't see, like, it's his second Super Bowl that's going to be it. He wants to win a second one, or it's his third one, or even it's like, he wants to coach all of Patrick Mahomes' career. He is going to coach until he physically can't do it. That would be my expectation. You agree?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised at some point if, you know, he coaches from practice, maybe in a golf cart or you know, something like that, you know. Andy Reid's not going to go out hunting or fishing or playing golf or anything like that. This is what he is, and, it's what he knows, and he loves doing it. Yeah, I don't particularly, as long as things look pretty good for the Chiefs. I mean, this is the team he's been waiting for his whole life, right, his whole coaching life, right? I mean, he's not going to walk away from this. You know, I did laugh when some people suggested that maybe he would be leaving. Well, he's got his Super Bowl. He's going to be walking away pretty soon. No, I don't see that at all. Yeah, I do believe that Andy Reid will coach as long as he physically and mentally can.
We're talking to Adam Teicher here in the program. Time for our Final Four. It's brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System. Adam, I will start you with this. How many career starts does Lucas Niang make?
Career starts for Lucas Niang. I'm going to give you 2.5 years worth. So that's what, 45, something, somewhere in that range?
Yeah, in the new era, we're looking at what, 34 plus 8 or 9. So
yeah. So 45, I'll say. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, he'll start, but he'll walk at the end of this rookie contract.
I mentioned we're here for the Father's Day sale going on at the Bushnell Factory Outlet Store here in Lenexa. They have laser rangefinders for golf, but also for disc golf as well. You can enter to win a disc golf rangefinder. Are you better at real golf? I don't mean to say that disc golf isn't real golf, but golf or disc golf, which one would you be better at?
Remember I told you about Wii Golf last week? Can I choose Wii Golf? That's what I'm really good at. I put my clubs up a few years ago, and I haven't touched them since. So I'd have to say that's my – I probably do play – if I have to choose, I'd say I play golf better with Frisbee.
Where does Aaron Rodgers play in 21?
If he plays anywhere, I'm going to say it's Green Bay. I can't see a trade happening at this point. I don't see what's in it for the Packers to get rid of him.
So
unless they're just
you could say nowhere, or you could say Green Bay. Which one?
Okay, I'm going to say Green Bay.
Okay, so he thinks he'll be back. And finally, is Tyrann Mathieu a Kansas City Chief in 22?
Yeah, I think he will be. I think he wants to play here. This will blow over, I think. He'll play for the Chiefs next year as well.
Yeah, I hope so. Adam, you're the man. We appreciate it. Great stuff as always. We'll talk to you again soon.
Good stuff, sir. I'll talk to you next week.
Teicher, ESPN.com. You can see his great work. Been covering the Chiefs since 1994. The Bushnell Factory Outlet has been serving Kansas City for years, locally owned and operated. All kinds of great stuff for Dad. That's what you got here at the Bushnell Factory Outlet Store. You can come try your luck at the Indoor Golf Simulator, closest to the pin and long drive contest going on. You can win great prizes. Enter to win a disc golf rangefinder, 20% off on the Camp Chef pellets. If you got a pellet smoker, come stock up right now. All kinds of great things, like the golf laser rangefinder for people like Adam Teicher to get back out on the course. Maybe he wouldn't be down to just if he had this. Just $130, $50 for a golf GPS, up to 40% off on select night vision. If you got a hunter on your list, let's go. $40 trail cameras, $35 tactical rifle scopes, all kinds of great stuff here at the Bushnell Factory Outlet Father's Day sales event. It's going on open Monday through Friday, 10 to 7, Saturday, 10 a.m. to 5.
The program with Soren Petro.
Gosh, I was such a reject in school. If only someone could have just stuffed food down the front of my pants, and I felt so much more important.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, the Jazz end of the hour answer. How many teams have overcome a 2-0 deficit twice in the same postseason? The answer...
zero.
None. The Clippers will try to be the first.
None of the every team. None. Zero. The Eclipse. And thank you for that information because, by the way, I used it on the two-minute drill. So
I noticed.
Listen to the drill. They may have gotten it. Playing for wonderful Cajun food from Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen. Go to jazzkitchen.com. Take it out. Dine in. It's up to you. They'll be happy to serve you any way you want. Great Cajun food. From Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen. Great deals going on at the Bushnell Factory Outlet Sale. Take advantage of it right now. You've got today, next tomorrow, and next week to get all kinds of great gifts for Dad. The indoor golf simulator. Some folks are taking a shot at that. Closest to the pin, long drive contest. It's happening here, 8500 Marshall Drive in Lenexa.
The first end of the hour question. Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue in Olathe, Leawood, and the original in the gas station at 47th and Mission.
All right, Chris Middleton, the third Bucks player to have 35 points and 15 rebounds in a playoff game. Name either of the other two. Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue.